Okay, Chagiga, Tezvav Amid Beis, two lines before the wide lines. The Gemara was speaking the whole story of Acher. He became a non-believer because he looked up there, and there's a whole bunch of stories that Rabbi Meir tried getting him to do tshuva, and a voice came down from heaven and said everybody could do tshuva except Acher, and a whole thing over here going on in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Kinoch Nafshi de Acher, when Acher passed away, after Acher passed away, Amra, they said in the heaven, Lemidin Ladina, you know what? Let's not execute him for the punishment. In other words, let him not go to Gehenim. And let him not come to the world to come. Meaning, basically what we're saying, the Gemara is saying is, when Acher died, a voice, and Hashem said in heaven, you know what? Let's not give him Gehenim for his evil, and let's not give him Gan Eden for the good that he did. Let's just leave him neutral. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara explains as follows, Le'meiden Ladaina, let's not give him against Gehenim, Bishim da Asik Baraisi, because he learned Torah, and Torah should save him from Gehenim. V'le'la'alma da Asi, we shouldn't let him go to Gan Eden, Mishim da Chote, because he sinned. So the Gemara basically is saying, Hashem said, you know what? Let's not give him Gan Eden, let's not give him Gehenim, let him just stay neutral. So Amar Meir, so Meir said, Motiv de Ladain is a very famous expression in the Gemara. Motiv de Ladain, it's better for him to go to Gehenim, v'leisi la'alma da'osin, to come to the world to come. But Meir said, in other words, it's interesting, Mefarshim point out that the Meir differed from Hashem, and Hashem listened to Rav Meir. Hashem said, let him not go to Gehenim, and let him not go to Gan Eden. And Rav Meir said, you know what? It's better that he should go to Gehenim for a while, and then he'll be able to go to Gan Eden. It's worth it. And the Gemara, Rav Meir continued, and said as follows, Masei Amos, Rav Meir said, when I die, Va'ala Oshim Mikivrei, and smoke will come up from Acher's grave, I will know then that he entered Gehenim. So the Meir said, when I die, I'm going to go up to heaven, and I'm going to make heaven send him to Gehenim, that he should be able to go to Gan Eden afterwards. So the Meir said, black smoke is going to come up from his grave, and then you'll know that I accomplished to get Acher into Gehenim. So the Gemara says, Kinoch Nafshi de Rav Meir, when Rav Meir Taka passed away, Sala Kutra Mekiva da Acher, a pillar of smoke came up from Rav Meir's grave. So the people knew that Rav Meir was successful. Rabbi Yechanan, many years later said, Gvurta Lemikla Rabbi, is it such a good thing to burn your Rebbe? Acher was Rav Meir's teacher. So Rabbi Yechanan said, I understand. Rav Meir ended up, okay, good, he's going to go to Gan Eden, but meanwhile, got his Rebbe burnt. Is that good? He said, Chad Ava Beneinu, there was one student amongst us and who strayed away from Yiddishkeit, and we can't save him. In other words, Rabbi Yechanan said, why are we bothering with Gehenim? Let him go straight to Gan Eden. We can't save him. He's a buddy of ours. He learned Torah. He's one of us. He's a colleague. We can't save him. He said, if I enact the biyad, Rabbi Yechanan said, if I would take Acher by the hand and drag him into Gan Eden, man marmalei man, is anybody going to try to stop me? Rabbi Yechanan said, When I die, I'm going to take Acher by the hand and bring him to Gan Eden. Amar Rabbi Yechanan said, Masei Amos, when I die, V'achaba Oshim Nekivri, I'm going to extinguish the smoke from his grave. Meaning that Gehenim is finished, and he went, I don't speak Hebrew, and he went to Gan Eden. Kinoch Nafshi de Rabbi Yechanan, so the Gemara said, when Rabbi Yechanan passed away, Pasek Kutra Mekivri da Acher, the pillar of smoke that came up from Acher's grave stopped. Which means Rabbi Yechanan got him into Gan Eden. No, this is Rabbi Yechanan from the Gemara. Rabbi Yechanan ben Zakkai was before Rabbi Acher. So he couldn't... Rabbi Meir and Acher were after Rabbi Yechiman Zaki. Rabbi Yechiman Zaki was the Talmud of Hillel. Okay? And Rabbi Yechiman Zaki had Chamisha Talmidim, and they were, Rabbi Kiva was a student of theirs, and Rabbi Meir was a student of Rabbi Kiva. Acher and Rabbi Akiva were contemporaries. Rabbi Yechiman Zaki lived two generations before Acher. So it couldn't be. This is Rabbi Yechiman of the Gemara that lived many, many years later, in the time of Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yechiman passed away, Pasach Saftona, to the eulogist, made a eulogy for Rabbi Yechiman's funeral, and he said, Afila Shemir HaPesach, even the watchman at the entrance of Gehenim, did not stand in your way. What did Rabbi Yechiman basically do? He went into Gehenim to get Acher out of Gehenim. Right? That's what he did. So the guy eulogized Rabbi Yechiman by saying that even the watchman of Gehenim couldn't stop Rabbi Yechiman from doing what he wanted. So the bottom line of this is, and the Mefarshim point out an interesting thing. Being down here in Yerushalmi, it says, when Rav Meir said his statement, that heaven said, no Gehenim, no Gan Eden. So Rav Meir said, you know what, it's worth for him to go to Gehenim as long as he eventually ends up in Gan Eden. Right? It's worth it. So people said to Rav Meir, how could you fight God? God said, no Gehenim, no Gan Eden. So you're going against God? You think you'll win? You think you can win over God? So Rav Meir says, why not? Didn't we learn that you can rescue the container of a scroll together with the scroll? Basically, Rav Meir quoted the Gemara that says you could save such a person too. And obviously we see that Hashem listened to him, to Rav Meir. But the Gemara's expression is a very famous Gemara that's brought down in many places, in Chassidus especially, Motiv de Ladaina. It's worth going to Gehenim that you should eventually go to Gan Eden. Now, when a person dies, normally a Rasha burns in Gehenim 12 months. There are a few super duper Rishoyim like Yashke and Bilam and a few more of those guys that the Gemara says are still burning. They're still burning. But normally a Rasha burns in Gehenim for 12 months. That's why, as we learned in the past, when somebody passes away, we say Kaddish for 11 months. When a person passes away, you say Kaddish for 11 months. Why? Because the Gemara says Kaddish saves a person from Gehenim. So you don't want to make that, like my father was a Rasha, that he's burning 12 months, so I have to say Kaddish for 12 months. It's not nice to make your father, your parent, a Rasha, that you have to say Kaddish for 12 months. So therefore, the custom is you stop after 11. But that's why it's an interesting Chabad custom. The Rebbe Rashab writes that you're supposed to say 16 Kaddishim a day. When you, for a deceased parent, it's good to say 16 Kaddishim a day. That's why people that are in mourning, like the Daven for the Yomid if they can, because then you have a few more Kadeshim, you know, that the Chazan says. Because it says in the Zohar, it's an interesting Zohar. The Zohar says, Kaddish helps for an hour and a half. What I mean, why, I don't know. But that's what the Zohar says. Kaddish helps for an hour and a half. So if you have 16 Kadeshim a day, times one and a half is 24 hours. So by saying 16 Kadeshim a day, it saves the person from 24 hours of Gehenim. There's only one Jew.
There's only one what?
There's only one type of Jew. You get older, you'll understand
that.
What about the rest of us? What do you mean? A lot of them also daven for the Yomid.
No, 16 times.
So they don't, because those that follow the Zohar. The Zohar says that Kaddish helps for an hour and a half.
And what about if somebody does their son?
So then they hire somebody to say Kaddish. No, that's what they do. Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So basically, the bottom line of the Gemara is that Rav Meir, and obviously, and this is another unbelievable concept that you see just in the Gemara. Hashem said, no Gehenim, no Gan Eden, for Acher. Rav Meir says, yes, we're going to send him to Gehenna that he should go to Gan Eden. That means basically he went against what Hashem wanted. It's okay, but you know what? Hashem gave in to him. Hashem gave in to Rav Meir, and the proof is that the Acher was safe from Gehenna. So now the Gemara tells the story. Bito shel Acher, Acher's daughter, Asil Akami the Rebbe, came before Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, many years later, obviously. Amr Leish, she said to Rebbe, Rebbe, Panaseini, I'm poor, you know, give me tzedakah. Rebbe was very wealthy. She came to him and she said, Rebbe, I need support. Amr Leish, so Rebbe said to him, Basmiyat, whose daughter are you? And as the Mefarshim explained, why, what does he care, whose daughter are you? Because the Gemara says, when you give tzedakah, you have to give the person money what they were accustomed to. Rashi quotes in Chumash that if the person was accustomed to servants and horses, you know, they were very wealthy, you have to give them accordingly. If they were poor, you can give them less money. So Rabbi wanted to know how much tzedakah to give this girl. So he says, whose daughter are you? Amrelei. So she said to him, Bita shel Acher ani. I'm Acher's daughter. Obviously, the Mefarshim say she didn't say, I'm Acher's daughter. She said, my father was Elisha ben Avuya. So Amr La, so the Yudah Nasi said to her, Adayin Yeshmi Zara Ba'ilam, there's still kids left from him. For Aksiv, it says in the Pasik, Leinin Lei V'leinechad Ba'amei, it speaks about the wicked, that there won't be any child or grandchildren, Vein Sarib B'Megurav, that everything will be, his memory will be wiped out. So like Rabbi Yudah Nasi was shocked that Acher still had, you know, descendants alive. Amr Le, so she said to Rabbi, she was a smart girl, she said to him, Zchor L'Teirasei V'Altisken Maisev. She said to Rabbi, why don't you remember his learning and not his actions? Maybe he was a Russian, but he was a big scholar. So what happened? Miyad Yorda Eish, a fire came down from heaven, V'Sichetzecha Savsala Shel Rabbi, and it singed, it scorched the bench where Rabbi was sitting, as if to show Rabbi you're wrong, and the girl's right. Barcha v'amar Rabbi. Rabbi cried and said, O'malim izganim b'kach. Look, if those that disgrace God, how much Torah protects them. L'mishtapchim ba, the one that behave with Torah, Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so will Torah defend them. So Rabbi cried because he saw that even a Russia, you know, that fire comes down from heaven, because this Rasha Acher learned Torah, and because of that, his daughter was still alive. So obviously, it's this, the Gemara doesn't say it, but obviously Rabbi supported her accordingly. So now the Gemara asks a different question. We learned before in the Gemara that Rav Meir, the Gemara even tells a story before, that Acher was riding a horse in Shabbos, and Rav Meir was running after him and learning Torah. And Acher said to him, by the hoofboots, the hoofbeats of the horse, I know that it's Tchum Shabbos. I went already the amount of walking that you're allowed to go, and you turn back. So the whole time the Gemara says that Meir was learning Torah from Acher. Okay, even though he was a Rashi. So the Gemara asked, how is Meir able to learn Torah from Acher? Rabbi Baba Chana said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, my dechsiv, what is this that the Pasuk says? Kisiv se kayin, the lips of a kayin, yishmeru das, will safeguard knowledge. V'teira yivakshu mipihu, and you should seek teira from him, ki malach Hashem tzvoisu, because he's an angel of God. So the Gemara learns from this, that who are you allowed to learn Torah from? A person who's like an angel. But if the person's wicked, you shouldn't learn Torah from him. Right? So the Gemara says, if he's a holy guy, meaning he's a teaching, a scholar, and a frum person, then you should seek to learn Torah from him. But imlav, if he's not righteous, don't learn Torah from him. So the question is, how can Rav Meir learn Torah from Acher when the Gemara says clearly you're not allowed to learn Torah from a Rasha? Amar Ish Lakish, the Ish Lakish said, back to soccer?
Yeah.
That one second. Amar Reish Lakish. Rameir kra ashkech v'darish. Rameir found the pasuk that said differently. What does the pasuk say? Hat oznecha, listened with your ears, ushma divrei chachamim, and hear the words of the sages, v'libcha toshis l'dayti, but set your heart to my outlook, meaning, learn Torah, but set your mind to me. So what did Amir say? It doesn't say set your mind to them. That means they could be bad. Don't listen to them. Just learn Torah from them. L'daitim le'inemar, it doesn't say for their outlook, ela l'daiti, for my outlook. Meaning that even if the person is not a righteous person, if he's teaching Torah, you could do it. Okay? But the Gemara says, Rav Chanina Amar Mehach, Rav Chanina learns from a different pasuk that the Meir learned that you can learn Torah even from a Rasha. Because it says, Shimi Basarihi Vati Oznech, hear, O daughter, and see, Vati Oznech, and incline your ear to listen, Veshichi Amech Vesavich, but forget your people and your father's house. Meaning, what's the pasuk saying? Learn, but forget them. Meaning, learn Torah from them, but don't follow their deeds, their actions. So you see two psukim that the Gemara is quoting, that even if the person's wicked, you're allowed to learn Torah from the person. So the Gemara says, even though one pasuk teaches us you can only learn Torah from an angel, meaning from a person who's great, and from a rasha you shouldn't learn, but Rav Meir and the other people found two other psukim that say you can learn Torah even from a rasha. But the Gemara asks, but then if so, Kashu Kroa Adadi, then the psukim are contradicting one another. One pasuk says only learn from an angel, and another two psukim say you're allowed to learn Torah even from a wicked guy. So how do you reconcile the two psukim? The Gemara says, Leikashi, it's not a question. Ha begadol, ha bekatan. We even kept your Gemara open for you. The difference is a mature person or an immature person, or rather, younger and older. Meaning, a younger person whose character is being molded yet, so they cannot learn from a wicked person. Because a wicked person can have a negative influence on the person. So when the pasuk says, if he's an angel, learn from him. And if he's not an angel, don't learn from him. Yeah?
But over here.
Then don't learn from him. That refers to a katan. Because you don't want a katan learning from a person that doesn't have Yiras Shamayim and he doesn't fear God, because it can have a negative impact. A person is older and mature and set in their ways already, and already they're religious, so the Rav Meir is not going to become influenced negatively by Acher. So the Gemara says it's not a contradiction of the Psukim. Granted, if a person's young, he needs to have a teacher who is religious. If he's not older already, it doesn't matter if he learns Torah even from somebody that he won't follow their deeds. The Gemara says, this is what you said now, Ki Asa Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael back to Bavel, he said, Amr Bamarov, that in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Rameir Achol Tachla, V'shadish Shichla Levara. Rameir took a date, consumed the outside of the date, and threw away the pit. In other words, the Gemara uses an expression, he knew how to separate the good from the bad. So Rav Meir was great enough to be able to learn from Acher what he needed to learn, and what he didn't need, he didn't learn. What? We are learning Torah. You're not talking about learning morals and ethics, obviously.
Where can you find somebody that is really knows Torah, and where doesn't follow it?
The Gemara says later, I believe, yeah, the Gemara says later, Yad Achitofel. Achitofel was the same thing. He ended up being a Rasha. And there weren't too many. But David also learned from Achitofel. I mean, he says in Pegov, he's learned Shnei Dorim, you know. But the Gemara says there are a few, in fact, Doeg and Achitofel. Doeg was also a Rasha. The Gemara is going to soon say. What?
Since you made the statement, you spent my life in education, the statement that it's okay to learn with a Rusha, a bad person, Schweitzer Gehenim, just as it is to learn from a knowledgeable, nice human being, how can they say that? How can they think that if you're a young man or a young woman, you're going to learn from somebody who's a Rusha, somebody's a Chaza, somebody's a dirty SOB, that it's okay?
Son of Bible?
That's what you say.
SOB is son of Bible?
Whatever you want to say. Because one of the things, anybody that goes into education on any level, before the knowledge is questioned, the personality, the persona of that person is recognized, is checked, and that person better be good.
So the Gemara says, at the bottom they discuss this whole thing. They bring down that even though you're allowed to learn from a wicked person, if you're mature in your beliefs, but from an apikadis, you're not allowed to learn. From an apikadis, you're not allowed to learn. That's why the Gemara says Rameir was so great that he was able to eat the fruit and spit out the pit. But only Rameir was able to do that. In other words, the Gemara is basically saying, especially Kondarit Yisrael, that Rameir was great enough to, because first the Gemara is learning out of Psukim. If you take the Gemara a little bit deeper. First the Gemara learns a Pasuk. One Pasuk says you can only learn from an angel. Then there's two Psukim that say you learn from a Rasha. Okay? That seemingly applies to any person. Right? Then in Eretz Yisrael they say, Rameir was great. The Rameir knew how to eat the fruit and spit out the pit. That means not everybody could do that. Only Rameir knows how to do that. Because there's a whole question, because the Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, only says, if the guy's a malach, learn from him. If he's not a malach, don't learn from him. And the Rambam doesn't even talk about if he's mature or not mature. And they ask a big question on the Rambam. Why does the Rambam leave out the whole Pikis of Gemara over here? What?
I want to say something. I don't think this Rasha, what he meant here, is really, really Rasha. It meant something maybe somebody doesn't agree with the Torah. Or...
No, Achi was...
Rasha, what do you mean Rasha is? Somebody... cruel or killing people?
No, that's equating the Torah.
A simple person doesn't do many bad.
No. A real Rasha is a person that's not ignorant. He's not a Rasha. He doesn't know. Acher knew everything and he desecrated Shabbos and he ate treif and he did everything.
So he a Rasha?
That's what it means, a Rasha. Yeah.
So he ate treif and he learned Torah and everything was not allowed.
Yeah, and he did it anyway.
But maybe he doesn't know he's not allowed or anything.
Achen knew he was allowed.
You know better than you know.
I think the question here...
What?
Huh? It seems like the question here I can see is... Fine, okay, for the Reb Meir it's permitted, but a whole generation of Amoras, Rabbi Akiva, and he couldn't find someone better to learn with?
Who, Reb Meir, you mean?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. What's he picking?
Achen. Because Achen happened to be... a very, very great person. A very, very great person. And the mayor learned from Acher before he became an apikadis. And he liked the style of learning and he was a big chassid of his. Big follower of his.
It's very hard to believe.
Okay, we'll get older, you'll understand. Dara Shirava Rava learned. My dechsiv, what is this that it's... Yeah.
This Rasha, what he meant here in the Torah, is not really Rasha. I want to say something why. Because this Rasha can still have a tshuva.
Yeah, but the voice came out and said, Achi can't do tshuva.
No, people can do tshuva. This is why you can learn from them. I believe.
Yeah, but the Gemara said, Achi can't do tshuva.
What's the meaning?
The Gemara, you didn't come. We learned this already a long time. Achi didn't do tshuva.
But these people, because what we say, everybody live in this world until the last thing they have tshuva.
But Achi didn't do tshuva.
Until he died?
Right. Yes. We're going to see soon the Gemara, maybe. Maybe, in the Gemara says, maybe he did tshuva, but simply he didn't.
And you can learn from them?
Yeah. The Gemara says, Dada Shrava Rava said, okay, Maidach said, what is this that it says in the Pasuk? Alginis Eges Yeradati. It says, Hashem says they went down to a nut garden. Lireis Be'ivei Anochel. To look at the green plants of the stream. So the Gemara says, what does this pasuk mean that Hashem went down to a nut garden? So it says, so basically, what does it mean? Hashem came down to listen to scholars learn Torah. So it says, Lama nimshul tamidei chachamim la'egeis. Why are Torah scholars compared to a nut tree? Because it says, Leim lach to teach us, ma agezeh, just like a nut, afal pishem luchuch betit of etzaya, even though it becomes filthy with mud and dung. Ein mashe b'seichen nimus, the nut inside it doesn't become spoiled. Most fruits, if they're very dirty on the outside, get ruined on the inside. But a nut, it's a hard shell. So even though it's very dirty on the outside, the nut is not, all you have to do is wash it off. So it says, av talmid chacham, even a talmid chacham, av al pi shesarech, even though he sours, meaning he sins, ein terasi nimeses, his Torah doesn't become repulsive. So the Gemara says, Rav is sticking up for Acher, so to speak. That even though he's really dirty, so to speak, on the outside, the inside Torah that he learned stays. So now the Gemara says, it's another interesting story in the Gemara. Ashkeche Rabbi Bashila L'Eliyahu. Rabbi Bashila, one of the rabbis of the Gemara, met Eliyahu Navi. They used to meet Eliyahu Navi very often, these people. Amalei, so Rabbi Bashila said to Eliyahu Navi, Ma'ave kutshebrich, what's God doing now? I mean, what's God doing, Bichlal, you know? Amalei, so Eliyahu Navi said to him, Ka'ame shmaitim mipu maidu akula rabbanu, God is repeating teachings from all the scholars of the Mishnah, except mipu med Rav Meir loy ka'amar, but not from Rav Meir. God is repeating teachings of everybody, but not Rav Meir's teachings. So Amalei, so Rav Shila said, Rabbi Bashila said to Eliyahu Navi, Amai, why? Why not? So he says, Mishim de Kagama Shmaitz Mipume da Acher. Because he was learning Torah that Acher taught him. And God didn't want to mention laws that Acher said. Amalei, so Rabbi Bashila said, Amai, but why? Rav Meir Rimin Matzah, Rav Meir found a pomegranate. The inside he ate, klipas ezarik, he threw away the peel. In other words, so what's wrong? The teachings of Acher weren't wrong. The person of Acher wasn't bad, wasn't good. But the teachings of Acher were tainted. The mayor, so to speak, refined them. What's the problem? So he said, so Eliyahu Navi said to him, Hashtu ka'amar. Now God, right now God is repeating something in the name of Rav Meir. Meir b'ni Eimer. And listen to this. What did God repeat now in the name of Rav Meir? Bizman shadim mitztayer. When a person suffers for his sins, Shechina maloshin emeres, what does the divine presence say? Kaleini mireish. I'm burdened by my head. Kaleini mizay. I'm burdened by my arm. Meaning, when a person suffers, Hashem is suffering. That means when a Jew is in Golos, God is suffering also. So it says, Imkach HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitztayer al damim shel tzirushoyim. So Rav Meir continued the expression that God is repeating, that if God is mitztayer, is upset for the blood of the wicked, Kavochem al damim shel tzadikim, how much more so is God pained by the death of tzadikim, by the suffering of tzadikim. But this is a very interesting thing that the Mefarshim explain over here. God is not mentioning anything in the name of Rav Meir, right? And Rabbi Bashila says to Eliyahu Navi, why not? That's not nice. So God gave in to him. I mean, think about it, before also in the Gemara, what we just learned. Yeah? God says, no Gehenim, no Gan Eden. Comes along Rav Meir, says, yes Gehenim and yes Gan Eden. How is Rav Meir contradicting God? And Rabbi Bashila is going against God, so to speak. God says, I'm not mentioning anything in the name of Rav Meir. And Rabbi Bashila says, Eliyahu Navi, why not? It's only right that God should mention the name of Rav Meir. So right away, God listened. Because this is the concept of what we learned many times, the concept of Torah Lei B'Shamayim Hi. Torah doesn't belong to the heavens. Torah is given on earth, And God, so to speak, is forced, because that's what God set up, God is forced to listen to the rulings of the earthly courts, even if it goes against God. And there's a story in the Gemara that the earthly court went against the ruling of God. And God said, Natschune banei natschune, my children were victorious over me. That means there's an argument in learning, and the earthly court ruled differently than the heavenly court, and God gave in to the earthly court. Why? Because after Matan Torah, Torah is not in the heavens anymore. They have no say in the matter. And if the earth paskins, if the earth rules that God has to quote Rav Meir, God quotes Rav Meir. If the earthly court rules that it's worth for him to go to Gehenna and then to Gan Eden, that's what God is forced to do. Definitely. Let me ask you a question. Is somebody sick? We daven? Mm-hmm. We're negotiating, no? Okay, then. God is Jewish. He negotiates.
No, I want to learn.
I'm answering you seriously. God wants us to negotiate. Yeah. Yeah. God wants us to demand from him why he does certain things. And if we don't demand, God gets upset with us why we don't demand. In other words, when God makes somebody suffer, so you can have an approach to say, if God makes the person suffer, why should I mix in? Let the guy suffer. That's what God wants, right? God gets upset when you don't mix into his business. Right. Somebody is sick. Yeah, God makes somebody sick. What does the Torah say? Go to the doctor and get healed. To mitzvah, you have to go to the doctor. But you're mixing into God's business. Somebody God made poor, and then God said give him tzedakah. By you giving tzedakah to the poor person, you're mixing into God's business. Right? What's the answer? That itself is what God wants. When Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Jews sinned in the golden calf, and Moshe Rabbeinu started arguing with God, you know, to forgive them, God said, hey, leave me alone. This is what God said. Leave me alone and let me destroy them. God could have just said, I'm going to destroy them. What did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? If you don't leave me alone, I'm not going to destroy them. That's what God said. Leave me alone, and let me destroy them. So what was God basically telling him? I want you not to leave me alone, and I don't want to destroy them. So the rabbis had the ability to tell God, what do you mean you're not quoting the name of Rameh? You have to do it. Correct. Correct. Yeah. That's right. Okay.
Quick question. Last sentence, we say since Ramer talked good about him, he found some merit, some school.
Yeah. There is also such a concept. The Rebbe once spoke about it. There's at the end of Gemara Sukkah, we learned there's a lady, Miriam Bas Bilga, that she took Lucas, there's this wicked lady, Miriam Bas Bilga, and she took her shoe and was hitting the Mizbeach and said, you're wasting the Jews' money with all this. And they banned her whole family from donating things, from working in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rebbe once explained that Gemara, and the Rebbe told the story. There was once a person, there was a person, a great tzaddik, that there was a very bad thing about somebody, and by the tzaddik speaking about that wicked person, they elevated the person to be elevated in Gan Eden. So by the mayor talking like this, that itself caused a dischus for Acher to have that in Gan Eden. In other words, the mayor saying it, that itself caused the merit that the person should be able to have it. Now the Gemara says, Ashkeche Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel, who was the Rebbe of Rav Yehuda, once found Rav Yehuda, the Talib Ivra the Dasha. He was leaning on the bolt of a doorway. The Kabachan of Yehuda was crying. Shmuel, the teacher, found a student of Yehuda leaning against the door crying. Amalei, he said to him, Shinina, sharp one. He was very sharp. He said to him, My Kabachas, why are you crying? His Rebbe said to him, why are you crying? Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda answered him back, Mizutre maidachsibo rabbanan, is it like little about, is it what people say, what the Pasuk say about the Rabbanan? Aye Sefer, where is the one who can count? Aye Sheikel, where is the one that could weigh? Meaning, Aye Sefer Samigdolim, where is the one that can count the towers? I'll explain in a sec what that means. Aye Sefer, where is the counters? Shei Sefim Kol Eitzi Shel Beteira. Where is, there were scholars, in other words, they were complaining, we're missing the great rabbis. They were able to weigh the Torah, and they were able to count the Torah. And the Gemara explains what that means. Ayah Sheikel, Shayah Sheikel, and Kavachemer Shebeteira. They would weigh all the Kavachemers of the Torah. A Kavachemer is what? If this and this, it need this and this. They knew all the major arguments and the minor arguments. They understood it all. Ayah Seifers and Migdolim. Where is the one that can count the towers? They used to learn 300 laws about a tower that floats in the air. There's a Gemara that talks about a tower floating in the air. But there's a lot of interpretations of what this means. The simple interpretation is, in the laws of purity, the Gemara discusses about a tower that floats. A flying tower. Is it Tomei? Is it not Tomei? But another interpretation of Migdal Aperer Ba'avir refers to the top of the Lamed. You know, the letter of the Lamed, is the only letter in the Aleph base that goes above the line. You have letters in Hebrew that go below the line. Lamed is the only letter that goes above the line. In a safe...
Final Fei, Final Tzav.
They go below.
That's right.
No, they don't go below. No, the only letter that goes above the equal line of the letters is the Lamed. On top of the Lamed is really a Vav. It's a line. But it's not a straight Vav. It's a little bit slanty to the rest, to the left. That's also called sometimes in the Gemara the flying tower. Because it's flying above the letter. Okay? So they said there were rabbis that were able to give 300 reasons why the top of the Lamed is bent a little to the left. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, they're able to discuss 300 laws concerning a tower that actually floats in the air, concerning the laws of purity and impurity. Other opinions say, what is the flying tower? Refers to the Babylonian tower that they built to go fight God. They're able to teach 300 laws concerning that. Okay? So basically, there's different interpretations of what the Gemara means here. But the Gemara is basically saying that Rav Yehuda was crying. He said, what happened to all these great scholars of old? They knew the Torah properly. They were able to give 300 laws about everything. And the Gemara says, V'amir Ravami. Ravami says, T'las me'a baya bo'u doig v'achitefel b'migdal pirech. Doig and achitefel, both were not tzaddikim, okay? Doeg was Shaul HaMelech's advisor, and he spoke bad to Shaul HaMelech about David HaMelech, and because of that, a whole city of Noiv was killed, because of Doeg. Achitofel was also deserted David HaMelech for Avshalom, for David HaMelech's son. So Doeg and Achitofel were the head of the rabbinic court. They were brilliant, but they sinned. And the Gemara says that 300 halachas, Doeg and Achitofel learned in the Migdal Perer Ba'avir. And then the Gemara says, Utanan, yet we learned in the Mishnah, Shleisha Malachim, three kings, Varbo Hedyetis, and four commoners, Ein Lo Amchelek Leilam Abba. That means even though they were very great, but they lost their share in the world to come because they were evil. Who were they? So it says, the four commoners are Bilam, Doeg, Achitofel, and Gehazi. who was Elisha's servant, and the four and the three kings. It doesn't say who, but anyway, so the Rebbe is crying, and he says, "These guys were so great. These guys were so great in learning, and yet they went to Gehenna." So he says, "An mana matevi alon. What's going to happen to us?" And as Rebbe Yehuda cried, he said, if these great scholars ended up in Gehenna, what's going to be with us? Where are we going to go? So Shmuel said to him, no. He said, and this is a very important Gemara, Shinana, he said, sharp one. Tina haisa belibam. They were impure from the beginning, and you're pure from the beginning. In other words, the Gemara is going to say, Acher had evil within him from birth. Doeg achiteifel, as great as they were bad from birth. You were good from birth, so don't worry about it. And the Gemara says, Acher mai, this is a very interesting Gemara. Which impure thoughts were in the heart of Acher from birth, from earlier on? So the Gemara says, Zeme yevani leposik bimi pumi. He always used to sing Greek music. And the Greek music had a negative impact on the holiness of Acher, and that's why he became an Epicurus, and that's why he ended up in Gehenna. And the Gemara says, not only that, Amru Alav al Acher, they said about Acher, B'shoshahaya Emin mi Beis HaMedrash, when he used to get up after learning from his seat in the Beis HaMedrash, Har Beisifim Minim Neshim Mecheikei, a lot of books of Apikursis fell out of his garment. Meaning, it's a very interesting Gemara. Acher, when he went into the Beis HaMedrash, hid books of heretics of Apikursim in his clothing, that nobody should see that he was really studying the wrong books. But when he got involved in learning, he forgot that he had books hidden, and he stood up and the books fell down. And people caught them that he was reading Trefa books. So the Gemara says like this. Acher, we used to listen to Greek music. They bring down a whole theory over here. You see, Rashi learns that what was the sin of Acher? That he sang after the destruction of the temple. Because the Gemara says you're not allowed to sing after the destruction of the temple. And Acher was singing. So the commentators, they ask on this, so why does the Gemara say Greek music? It should say any music he sang. So the Gemara answers, that's why some of Farshim learn that Greek songs themselves, they were Apikursis songs. Because it was Greek culture. Greek culture is very it's pagans. It's all into the gods. So the Gemara says that Acher, by listening to Goyish music, this itself had a terrible influence on him, and that's why eventually when he became the Apicatus, he went to Gehenna. But Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, don't worry, you're not like that. So one opinion is that he used to read Trefa books, and the other opinion was that he used to sing Trefa songs.
Rabbi,
yes.
I know of Rashi, but I don't know who put the Gemara together.
Rav Ashi.
A rabbi?
Rav Ashi, his name was.
Where did he put it together? What country?
In Iraq. Yeah. Babel. Babylon is Iraq.
Which is older, Rashi or Gemara?
Rashi explains the Gemara. Rashi was a few hundred years after the Gemara. But there's an interest.
All the Greek music is talking the whole time, not this music, but now, maybe.
Today's not even called music.
Today's worse.
Huh? Today's
worse. It's not the same music you're talking about.
It's worse.
It's worse.
No, it's interesting. There's a guy here in LA that spoke at a women's convention in New York. It was the year of the. It was a guy from LA. I don't want to mention a name. But he spoke at a women's convention in New York. And it was the year of the Summer Olympics here in L.A. So he learned a whole lesson in serving God from the Olympics. And they printed up his speech for a magazine, for a Chabad magazine. And they sent it into the Rebbe to look it over. And the Rebbe, when he saw the part about the Olympics, the Rebbe said, but the Rebbe basically said, don't you know that the whole concept of the Olympics originates in Greek mythology, which is real Aveda Zara? Take it out completely from the speech. The Rebbe said, the Olympics is based in Greek mythology, because that's how the Olympics originated, because of the Greek gods. Then it became a sports-only thing. But the origin of the Olympics is Greek. And there's a certain tumma that the Greek philosophy had, which was so anti-Torah with the gods and all the, you know, these various things of Aveda Zara, that the Gemara is picking the Greek songs that he listened to. And that's what caused them to have this terrible...
This Olympic and, is really fancy thing, because this was, with Hitler also, he was used to...
Started before Hitler with all this.
Yeah, but Hitler used to ship, he was looking for that thing to look all the time.
Right.
The whole thing with the torch.
The torch symbolizes Aveda Zara.
Right.
Right.
I went to the
Olympics in 1984.
So you make a...
Okay, let's just finish off this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Shaul Nimes Agadius Rameir. There was a philosopher who happened to be, it was a non-Jewish philosopher who happened to be a weaver. So he was called Nimes Agardi. Gardi is a weaver. He asked Rameir, he said, I don't understand. He was a weaver, so he knew Shmatis, you know. So he said, all wool that goes into the dyeing pot absorbs dye. Meaning, does the Torah of students protect them from sinning or not? In other words, when you take wool and you put it into the dye, doesn't it all absorb from the dye, so to speak, of the tzaddikim? Amalei said to him, command avanoki agavi mesolik. Wool which was clean from the lamb's mother absorbs the dye. Called the lavanaki gavime, but what's not clean from the mother, lysolic doesn't absorb. Meaning, Rameir said, in order to absorb properly from the tzaddikim, you have to be born with a certain level of purity to it. Also, you know, you need to be born with a certain level of purity. And these people were affected, influenced in a negative way, so therefore they didn't turn out to be too good. Or like Tosis explains it, if the Yira, what did he answer him? If the Yira, because it doesn't pick it up, anybody whose Yira comes before his Chochma, his God-fearingness comes before the Chochma, then the wisdom lasts. And if it doesn't, the wisdom doesn't last. So basically, Rameir said to this person, what do you mean from the mother's wool? He said, if you fear God, so then you can absorb from the scholars. And if you don't, then you don't absorb from the scholars. And that's what Tosis said, says that Dagan Achitefel, that the Torah didn't protect them from Gehenim, Taisa says, is because they had no Yiras Shamayim. They didn't fear God. And because they didn't fear God, so their Torah didn't protect them. Torah can only protect the person who actually fears God. Okay.
Yeah.